Now, for members of the blind and partially sighted community who love the theatre, audio description of the performance is invaluable. And as technology advances, so then does the potential to use modern technology to improve the service. Touring company Opera North always offers at least one audio described performance per season in the theatres that they tour to. But most concert halls don't have the necessary technology to offer this service. So this can obviously limit the accessibility of the performance. Improvements in modern technology are helping to increase accessibility. And Alice Gilmore is a freelance audio describer and voiceover artist, and she also works to make Opera North performances more accessible. And she's been pioneering a new way of delivering audio description. Sounds interesting. And Alice Gilmore joins me now. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Simon.
Now, this is really exciting. But first of all, I mean, audio description is so important. I know that you work really intensively in this area.
Yes, it's just, I think it's vital, particularly for something like opera that's quite often performed in a different language. You're really making it very inaccessible for people if they can't read the surtitle screens, so the translation. So for me in particular, I just feel there's a huge impetus in utilising audio description to make all of our performances, well, as many as possible, accessible for people, you know, with sight problems so they can't read.
What about the technology side of it? Because everything's moving on, but there are limitations, aren't there, in some of the services that are provided?
Well, the difficulty is that for theatres that can afford a fully working audio description system, almost immediately they've installed it. The technology is kind of out of date. So lots of the theatres have an infrared system. So the audio describer talks into a microphone and that's broadcast over infrared to the customer who wears a headset. Now, infrared cuts out if you're in front of a pillar or if there's someone tall sitting in front of you or any of these reasons. So it's quite, it can squeak a lot in the ears. It's really not a particularly comfortable, pleasant experience. Plus, the headsets can be a bit uncomfortable. They're quite kind of obvious looking. Different things like that. Now, some theatres have moved forward. The Sennheiser Mobile Connect is a great system. That broadcasts over Wi-Fi, so it's a much better, clearer signal that doesn't cut out. And they've actually utilised sending that to a phone, so you can have the app installed on your phone. But there's only a few theatres have this. But I think that system is definitely, you know, streets ahead of the infrared. So yes, it's all about really, you've got to think of the customer's comfort and enjoyment of the show. And it's basically that as long as they can hear the voice talking in their ear, just explaining, you know, little bits of information to help them visualize what's happening on stage, it's got to be comfortable and easy enough to wear for 2 to 3 hours.
Now, I've been mentioning your idea, which we'll come to in a minute, to some of my colleagues. Nowadays, there's a bit of a buzz about this. And I mean, in a nutshell, it's a pre-recorded audio description that you're proposing, but for live performances. And everybody's saying, how does that work if it's a live performance? So tell us about your idea.
Well, my idea was really that it was particularly driven by the fact that when we performed in the concert halls in another language, any of our blind and partially sighted customers obviously wouldn't know what was going on. And you can, I think you can get hold of scores in Braille, and there are certain things you can do, but it's difficult. So I thought if we pre-recorded it, they could listen to it on their phone. Hopefully you could download the audio files to their phone. Now, this turned out to be impossible because they're about 54 meg. But the issue obviously is timing, because it has to stay in sync, because you can't be describing something and then the timing's got so far out. It doesn't make sense. So I looked at the show reports of previous productions, and luckily, maybe opera is unique in this. I don't know how this would work in lots of other fields. Our performances, say for the first half of an opera, often wouldn't deviate by more than a minute. Now, I understand that a minute is quite far out. And the trial is, when I did this trial, they said it stayed in sync enough for them to still enjoy and make sense of the show. So you keep the information minimal. So you're basically saying where the person is standing, who's singing, and what they're going to sing about. So it's not a literal translation line by line. And because these were semi-stage performances, I didn't have too much stage action to describe, which was good because I think it could get quite a little more difficult in a busier show. But yes, it's all about the synchronization. And then the customers eventually, we worked out that I'd host the files on a SharePoint site and I sent them an email with the links. And in their, on their phone, they clicked on the link. They heard me say act one. And then the instructions were to then press pause, you know, in a sort of general manner, not just to have to rush to press pause, but just press pause and only press play again when they heard the first notes from the orchestra start. And then it was supposed to stay in sync for each act. So there were two acts in the first half with a pause between them for them to change to the next file and one act for the second half.
Could that be automated, yeah. Do you think, that kind of, you know, if the stopping and starting, could that still be controlled externally?
Yes, this is the ultimate aim, Simon, I think, because what would be superb is if you can link it into the whole show itself, so the technical team who are there every night anyway, if it can be something as simple as, you know, there are perhaps, say, three or four chunks within an act, so there's a very definite point with a lighting cue or something like that, you can literally have someone press, you know, play for the next file, and then you're literally broadcasting it, and the user doesn't have to worry about the stress of starting and stopping at the right time. Plus, the smaller chunks you can divide it up into, the more in sync it stays, the more accurate and detailed your description can be. So that's the that's the push now. That's the next step.
And of course, if the patron's using their own equipment and they've possibly got really good, nice quality headphones, you limit perhaps the chance of sound bleeding out to people sitting around and things like that. What about people who don't use smartphones?
I did have a difficulty with one customer who was going to trial it for me, who used an Android phone, and we had an issue with SharePoint and a funny code it kept wanting for the file. But that would be ironed out by hosting them on our website, so they're publicly facing. But then my idea is for people without smartphones, it does require some level of help, perhaps. I don't know how easy. Well, I know some blind, partially sighted people are hugely technically proficient. But basically, if you could download the large audio files ahead of time, copy them onto a simple MP3 player, then you could just walk into the theatre with that and again, apply the same instructions. So you press play to just check, wait for me to say which file you're on, just so you can double check, pause, play again when you hear the first notes. So that's you operating a simple MP3 player. They retail at about sort of £15 to £20, you know, good quality. You could even, a smaller theatre company might invest in four or five of them, preload them with the correct audio description tracks and hand them out to customers who don't have smartphones.
Now, what's the feedback you've had so far? I believe there was a gentleman called Tom and his wife Caroline had given you some feedback.
Well, they were just so effusive. It was lovely. They rang in the interval because I was nervously waiting to hear if it had worked at all, because when you build up people's expectations and ask them to trial something that could be great, obviously you hope it will be. And they were so enthusiastic about it. They said it was difficult to operate and it would have been hard for Tom to operate it on his own. Caroline helped start and stop the files and listened in to sort of check the syncing, because obviously she was watching the show as well. But they said something really lovely. What was it? It's much better than anything we've ever had in any theatre anywhere in Europe, which I thought was wonderful. And both Tom and the other two people said, made the point about it having no audio bleed, because I think that's something people feel quite conscious of. So nobody around them could hear anything. Some of the older headsets, you can definitely hear a sort of, it's as if you're sitting next to someone on a train listening to music on their headphones, which isn't good in a theatre in a very, very quiet, poignant moment. So I think that was very exciting to hear.
And as you say, this is a new idea and technology is moving along, so other people will probably come up with ideas that can iron out some of these wrinkles with it. How is it going to pan out this year then? Have you planned to actually use it across the season this year?
We're going to trial it on another opera in the autumn, which we haven't decided yet, because we're already offering audio description on Labo M. It's quite important to say I don't want this to be seen as a replacement of live audio description, because that obviously is the ultimate you know, full experience. It's not going to go wrong. You literally walk in, put your headset on, and there it is. It's all, it's made to be easy. It's not going to go out of sync. And plus, one of the most important things is the touch tour. Now, I see the recording of the script then as an addition to this. So for LaBoN, because we're doing the live performances, I thought rather than record that and have it available on every performance, just because we're spreading it across the season, we're going to actually do pre-recorded audio description on one of the other two operas. And I'm actually asking the people who helped on the trial to choose which one they'd prefer, because another of the biggest difficulties, I think, for some passionate theatre goers is it's often the same shows that are audio described, because companies go for the most popular choice. And if you're an opera lover, that means that, again, it'll be Marriage of Figaro, La Bohème, La Traviata, and they don't get to come and see the more obscure repertoire that only gets performed occasionally. So the other two are less well-known operas, so we're doing one of those. It will be pre-recorded. This time it will host it on the website, so there won't be any issues for people listening to it via their phone, whether it be iPhone or Android. I will be looking into providing some pre-installed MP3 players. And we'll see what happens. Again, we're just going to get the learning from this and sort of cost it out really as well, because there is a cost involved in the extra editing and synchronization and recording of the files.
On the other hand, though, I mean, if you've got the full audio described live performances that you do and you keep them going, this system would presumably, like, for instance, myself, I could come in and think, right, well, I just fancy going to the theatre tonight. It's not an audio described performance. I could just go along and use my phone and use my equipment, and it would give me much more freedom as a theatre goer, wouldn't it?
I think that's the main thing from what I've heard from people, is that they have the choice. They can go at the last minute. Mm. You can go to any performance. Plus, I think it's important. One of the feedback was to the audio notes, which are normally broadcast 15 minutes before curtain up. Again, we could host them on the website, so you can listen to them on the way in. You can listen to the recap for the interval whilst you're still sitting in the bar finishing your drink. You know, you don't have to be sitting in your seat. This is all just now up to you to listen to when and where you like.
Are you excited about it?
Well, I'm just delighted that it was well received, because it's something I thought might work, and it did. So, yeah, I'm absolutely delighted.
Where can we get more information on this?
I've sort of written up an article that's in most of the... I think it's going to be on the RNIB website, Audio Describers Association newsletter. So it's around a little bit in a public sense. I think I'm going to have to definitely put something up on the website, Opera North, once we've decided what opera we're doing in the autumn, because I think we will make that public facing. Now, prior to this, it was a trial so that we could make sure it worked. So the Opera North website is operanorth.co.uk/access. And I will make sure there's something up there in the next week or so. There isn't currently, sorry.
Well, it's exciting, and we'll look forward to see how this develops. Alice Gilmore from Opera North, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.